Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Have you ever had one of those moments when you step into a room and you realise you're the only one who doesn't know what's going on? This happened to Andrew, my husband, not long after we were married, and I was working as a primary one teacher. And he'd come up to drop off my keys, my car keys, after getting it fixed. And he opened the door to the classroom. And I just happened to ask the kids, you know, does anybody know who this is? Well, it was kind of chaos. One kid screamed, another one started crying, and another one shouted, "Oh no, it's the dentist!" Now, little did Andrew know, I'd spent all week preparing the kids for our special visitor, because there'd been quite a few of them who were a bit anxious, so I'd been telling them not to panic. Obviously, I hadn't done a great job at all, because when this different visitor arrived at the door, they all freaked out, but it wasn't even the right person. So why am I telling you that story? Well, it's important to understand the context if you want to make sense of what's happening. And that's what we've been trying to do as we've been looking through this book of John. We're trying to help you go a level deeper, see not just what's happening on the surface, but what the bigger picture is. The significance of all the details, the background to what's happening at the time. Because we know that that was such an important question that Jesus asked his disciples when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And what we understand about someone will impact how we respond to them. For poor Andrew, who was a supposed dentist, the kids were terrified. So throughout this series, we've been going through the revelations that Jesus made about himself, and we're trying to fully understand what this meant at the time for the Jews and what this means for us today. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the verse that we've been looking at in John 20, 31. And when we've looked at all the incredible statements that Jesus made as he revealed himself as the bread of life, the living water, the light of the world. And now today we're going to look at how Jesus reveals himself as the gate and as the good shepherd. Now, for some of you, if you've grown up in church, these stories are going to be very familiar. And you've probably done the endless Sunday school crafts with the sheep and the cotton wool. But I just want you to step back, take a step back, and just open your hearts to receive. Please don't switch off because everything sounds familiar. Because you know what? In order to truly understand the significance of this revelation, we need to look at what happens in the chapters before. Remember, over the last number of weeks, we've heard about the Feast of Tabernacles and the ceremony of the illumination of the temple. Now, this festival is a reminder that God had promised to send a light, the light, to a sin-darkened world. God had promised to send the Messiah to renew Israel's glory, to release them from bondage and restore their joy. And it's in this backdrop that Jesus stood up in the middle of the gathering and declared himself to be the light of the world. Now you kind of expect the people to get it, for the lights to go on in the vines. You think they would make the link. The very one they had been waiting for was there in the midst of them. He was bringing light to a dark world. He'd been illuminating the scriptures, teaching the crowds, teaching with authority, making sense of everything, bringing to life everything that they'd studied and built their lives around. But the problem was the religious leaders and the teachers of the law, it was their hardness of heart. They'd become so stubborn and there was a spiritual blindness that covered their eyes. You see, every day they were going about their rituals, they were engaged in the duties and the ceremonies, the very things that God had put in place to point them to this very moment. And yet when the light steps in, into their worlds, they refused to see it. This light was not what they'd imagined. They were looking for freedom from a government or power. But you know what? Jesus had come to expose the darkness in the human heart and to show people that a life outside of him, there was no light in it. You know, after Jesus makes that incredible revelation about himself at the temple, he demonstrates what it's like to walk in the light. And we read the account of how he heals the man born blind. You know, here we're going to see in technicolor what it means for someone to physically receive their sight and spiritually have their eyes open to the truth of who Jesus is. Now, this is an incredible contrast here, as the Pharisees once more refuse to accept what's staring them in the face, and they continue to operate in the shadows. And all of these instances are going to build such a vivid portrait of the beauty and the majesty of the kingdom of light compared to the cruelty and the harshness of the religious system and those who operate in the dark. This exposure of these bad shepherds who are exploiting and intimidating their people, it's the very antithesis of everything that God intended. And it's in this light that Jesus then reveals himself to the people as the good shepherd. So let's get into this story where Jesus and the disciples first encounter the blind man. For me, it's so interesting how this story starts, because the blind man, he becomes the object of discussion amongst the disciples. And they ask Jesus, they say, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, if you take a second to think about this, it's such a ridiculous question. If the man was born blind, how could he have sinned before he was born? It shows the mindset of that day. The disciples had grown up in this highly religious culture, which just had this preoccupation with apportioning blame. See, their very first concern was not about seeing the man set free. He'd just become the subject of a theological debate. Do you know that's what happens? You see, the law looks for the cause rather than the solution. The law doesn't show compassion. The law is not designed to set someone free. Today, when people operate with a legalistic mindset, they're always concerned with blame and with the ensuing punishment. It's almost like we're pre-wired to think if a mistake's been made, then someone needs to pay for it. But contrast this with Jesus' reaction. He sees the person. He looks to the problem, but he sees the solution. His heart is to bring freedom. It's to redeem. It's to restore. He looks and he sees an opportunity to show love and bring glory to his Father. So he answers their question saying, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." And then Jesus spits on the ground. He makes mud and he places it on the man's eyes, telling him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man returns and he's able to see. Now, many people on reading this question, why did Jesus use spittle and create mud? And there's different thoughts around whether it was to show that Jesus was not constrained by the Sabbath, as it would have been forbidden to make clay, or whether others would say that this is meant to parallel God's original creation of man. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, as we read in Genesis 2:7. So in other words, Jesus showed his power as the creator by imitating the original creation of man. He used the dust of the ground to give the man born blind new sight. The creative power of Jesus' miracle was not lost on this man, who was healed, as he states later. "Since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Now, news of this healing reaches the religious leaders, and they question the man and his family. They're not rejoicing in the fact that a miracle has taken place. This man, whose life had been one of darkness, it's now been completely transformed. He's literally walking in the light. And yet the religious leaders are angered by his claims and they want to silence him. They go and they threaten his parents with expulsion from the temple. Their influence is so powerful that even his own parents fear the thought of being rejected by these religious leaders. And they take no responsibility for their son's actions, saying, "Well, he's of age, ask him yourself." Now, if you stop for a minute and you think about how crazy this is, if your son had been healed of blindness, would you not be out there in the streets telling everyone the good news? Yet so great was the intimidation from the leaders that they feared for their own position in society. You see, to be excluded by the authorities was a terrible thing. You'd be cut off from relationship and connection with others. But greater than that was to be made to feel that God himself would not accept you. You see, these leaders were like the gatekeepers who decided who could be called followers of God. Now, it's easy for us to read this story and feel indignant towards the parents, who in their right mind would allow this manipulation and control. But you know, as I was preparing this, I felt the Lord prompting me in this to speak into this area, because there are many Christians who are living in bondage and who are allowing manipulation and intimidation to dominate their lives. You see, that fear of rejection is such a powerful force. We're all born with this need to feel safe. We're all born with this need to belong. This is the way the Lord made us. But the only place where we will find true safety and security is in the arms of Jesus. Too many people allow the fear of man to rob them from true protection. If you believe you're being protected by keeping an allegiance to someone outside of the Lord, it will always come with a price. The Lord wants to set you free from the fear of man and the subtle intimidation and control the enemy wants to use over you. I'm speaking from personal experience. I know there's times when I've shrunk back, when I haven't spoken up for what I know is right, because I've been afraid of the consequences. But you know what? Each time we compromise, we give up part of who we truly are. And we allow ourselves to be held in bondage and sacrifice who God has truly called us to be. So don't give in to fear today. Don't give in to control. God has created you for freedom, for a life of light, for life, for truth. It takes courage to stand up and be strong, to say what you truly think and to hold fast with what you know God is leading you into. But we're called to walk in the light. Don't operate with others who are in the darkness. Maybe they're speaking behind people's backs. Maybe they're just going along with the crowd, not honoring and not loving the way you're called to. Don't be like the parents, more concerned with being with the right people. Contrast their attempts to dodge the question with a simple, forthright and straightforward response from the Son himself. When he was questioned, what did he say? He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. This man received his sight in the natural, but more importantly, his eyes were opened to the spiritual truth that Jesus was the Son of God. And this is in stark contrast to the religious leaders who John clearly portrays as the blind. They reject God and they're incapable of seeing the truth. They're ignoring the words of the prophet Isaiah, who foretold that the Messiah would come and open the eyes of the blind. These are the bad shepherds. These are the people who are not taking care of the sheep. These are the ones who are only interested in their own profit, their own advancement, their own reputation. This behaviour had been common throughout Israel's history and had been warned about in the scriptures by the prophet Ezekiel, where he said, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who take care of yourselves. You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. We'll read that in Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 4. You see, throughout scripture, there were countless examples of bad shepherds who'd abused the position of authority given to them by the Lord. Shepherds who'd strayed away from God's path of love, of justice, compassion, and mercy. And Jesus comes to confront this abuse of power. Now, just as the images that Jesus has used up to this point have been very simple and common for people to understand, like the bread, the water, the light, the role of the shepherd was also a very normal part of Jewish life. Shepherds would have been seen on the hills surrounding Jerusalem, and it would have been a common sight to see the sheep being called by the shepherds at night. Maybe as Jesus began his discourse, this actual scene was happening in the background. No one knows for certain, but we can be assured that everyone would have been familiar with the illustration he was using. So let's look at the beginning of John 10, in verse 1. Where Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Now, so we're not familiar with all farming practices at that time. Reading this on a cursory glance may not initially make much sense. So what does the gate and the gatekeeper mean? See, what would have happened every night, people would have been seen the shepherds and they would have heard them on the hills calling their flocks off the plain for the night and gathering them into their folds for safety. And many of the flocks would have been intermingled, so each of the shepherds would have called out to his particular sheep. And these sheep would have known their shepherd's call. His voice would have been familiar to them, and they would have followed him. And then you see, there would have been a gatekeeper, and he would have looked after the folds, and he would have only permitted the shepherds he knew to bring in their sheep. He would have opened the gate, allowing the shepherds to bring in their flock, and the sheep would have been safe for the night. You see, Jesus is using this illustration to expose the religious leaders and their treatment of the blind man. They are the thieves and the robbers in this analogy. These leaders had driven the blind man out of the Jewish fold, and Jesus explains that those who drove him out had no authority to do so. They are the bad shepherds. They are out to destroy the sheep. And Jesus explains that he is the only gate, and his Father is the gatekeeper. There is no other access to the Father other than coming through him. By believing in him, you come into the true fold. Here you're going to find safety and protection. He is the only way to become one of God's own flock. There's no position in society. No rule keeping will get you there. The only access to the Father is your trust and your belief in the Son. Now, do you know what? This was an incredible truth for all those who believed they were on the outside. All the ones who had been made to feel like something from their past, or perhaps their generations before them, was excluding them from entering into relationship with their God. Those who'd been rejected, the downtrodden, the outsiders, the undesirables, suddenly Jesus was welcoming them in. He was taking away all the rules, the regulations that disqualified them, and he was painting a picture of what a good shepherd looked like. Now, the religious leaders, they'd made God seem distant and far off, and they'd reduced a relationship with just obeying rules and following laws, and that's what life had been reduced to. People were under these heavy burdens, and they just simply couldn't bear it. But you know what? This simple truth that Jesus revealed 2,000 years ago is the same for us today. How many people today are still living with that same feeling of not being good enough, of not meeting the standard? How many people in your world are trapped in cycles of defeat? They're searching for a way out, and they're not being able to find it. People who believe that their behaviour prevents them from drawing to the Father. You know, Jesus knows and he understands the burdens people are carrying, and his desire is to set the captives free. It tells us in the Word, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Whenever people met Jesus, he didn't look at their sin or their failings. He looked at who he had made them to be. He saw past the behaviours and saw the person. He saw the potential he had placed within them. So after taking a look at the actions of the Pharisees and their treatment of the people, let's look at how Jesus introduces the heart of the Father and his love in this situation. How does he present to us the Good Shepherd? And what do we learn about Jesus through his words? Let's read. He says in John 10, "The sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Do you know, you've been built for an intimate connection with Jesus, and you recognize his voice. Again, living in our culture, you know, unless you're a farmer, you probably won't appreciate the significance of these words. The picture that Jesus paints to his audience again is one that they would have been used to seeing. They would have understood instinctively the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. This is why Jesus said would have been so radical to the Jewish people. The crowds were instinctively drawn to Jesus because his words brought life. They knew his voice. They recognized he was the true shepherd. People who had been in captivity for years were hearing the truth, and it was setting them free. The religious leaders were trying to destroy Jesus' credibility by trying to refute his heritage, his education. They questioned where his authority came from. However, they could not deceive the people, as they were drawn to the voice of the true shepherd. Now mirror that with our relationship with the Lord. We have all been designed to recognize the voice of the Lord. There is part of us that instinctively knows the voice of God. You know, I think in Christian circles, we've made it so complicated. Many people struggle and wonder if God speaks to them or not, like he does other people. We hear so many people maybe saying, oh, you know, God told me this, God told me that. And then other people thinking, I don't know if God tells me anything. It doesn't say here that the shepherd speaks to some of the sheep, that a special few are chosen by name and can hear his voice. It says the sheep listen to his voice. All of them. None of us is exempt. We can all hear the voice of the shepherd. Sometimes we've just bought into the lie that it couldn't be us speaking to it. It couldn't be him speaking to us. But you know what? If it's building you up, if it's encouraging you, if it's bringing you life, God only gives good gifts. It's his voice speaking right into your heart. Do you know what? You are worthy. You qualify to hear that voice. There is nothing separating you today from the voice of the shepherd. Do you know what else is incredible about these verses? God calls you personally. Notice Jesus doesn't talk about how the shepherd deals with the flock. He talks about each sheep. He talks about an intimate knowledge. They are called by name. You've been built for that intimate connection with Jesus. You hear his voice and he calls you by name. Remember when the shepherds were out in the hills, there were many flocks together and the sheep would have heard lots of different voices, but they responded to the one that they knew. It's kind of similar for us, isn't it? In my life, I know there are loads of voices at times fighting for my attention. There are many different things that I could give my attention to. But you know what? Only one of them is going to truly bring me life. Only one of them could be my priority above all others. So what else do we know about this intimate connection that Jesus wants to reveal through this image of the Good Shepherd? He goes on to say, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Do you know, it's so incredibly important today that you understand that you are fully known by Jesus. He knows everything about you. That's not something that should scare us or make us want to run to the hills or hide. That's because he wants you to walk in freedom. You know what? In the Old Testament, God had been revealed as the great I am, as the Lord Almighty, the supreme God. He was all-powerful and all-knowing. He was mighty. He was just. Yet Jesus comes to reveal a more intimate side of God. He reveals him as Father. Now, this would have been a revolutionary idea for the Jews of that day. God would have seemed so far off. It was just all, the relationship was nothing to do with intimacy. It was rules, regulations, and that governed who could come into the presence of God. But Jesus was coming to remove all those barriers. And he goes on to compare this intimate relationship between the sheep and the shepherd with the intimacy between the Father and the Son, that intimacy that they share. This idea of being truly known, it's what lies at the heart of all of us, for someone to know us completely and accept us, warts and all. And you know what? When someone knows us that well, we can have complete confidence in how they will lead us because they are perfectly suited to understand everything that we need. And that's why Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he will lead you and he will guide you. This is why it tells us that the shepherd goes ahead of us and the sheep follow him. It's a picture of complete trust. The sheep don't question where they're led. They follow willingly because they have such a devotion and trust in the shepherd. And look at how the shepherd leads. It says the sheep will come in and go out and that they will find pasture. How many people today are looking to be led? How many people in this season are faced with uncertain times where the path ahead seems unclear? Places where we would have looked for provision are maybe drying up. Pastures where we would have gone to are no longer good feeding ground. In the world today, so many people are looking for direction. They're trying to make difficult decisions in the face of an ever-changing landscape. Do you know, as believers, we don't need to be anxious or worried today about our physical needs being met. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is nurturing us and he's leading us. This picture of of the Good Shepherd. It's been used throughout the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, he told us that the Good Shepherd will tend his flock. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. See, it's such a tender picture that Jesus wants us to just have in our minds. He's committed to helping you become everything that he created you to be. This life is not about just surviving or getting through. It's a life of fullness. And that's about right now. I know so many people in this lockdown period have felt like they're just surviving. They're just trying to hold on and get through. But God has created us for so much more. He's created us for this freedom and this fullness. You see, the sheep come in and they go out. They can explore. They can move to new places. This is not a life of restriction and confinement. It's a life of adventure and opportunity. And you know what? That begins on the inside. Even if it might feel that things are confined at the minute on the outside, Jesus is calling you to dream, to picture in your mind what the future can look like, because he will get you there. That's what he has for us today. Many of us know this verse. We've heard it so many times, but for the truth of it to really go in, I'm going to say it again. And we need to really take hold of this and believe it for our lives. We know it says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Are you feeling oppressed today? Because that's not the Lord's plan for your life. Are you feeling overwhelmed by demands? Do you feel like life has been stolen from you? Like you've been robbed of maybe precious time with your family? You might feel like there's a relationship that's been burnt or destroyed. You might feel even that there's areas in your life where it's just dead. Do you know the good news today is that Jesus, your good shepherd, cares for you. He knows you by name. He calls you his own. He's come to give you life in all of its fullness. And do you know what else the picture of the good shepherd speaks of? It speaks of your protection. Because everything is taken care of because the sheep are under the protective watch of the shepherd. The commitment that Jesus assures us of is not temporal, it can't be revoked. And he compares the difference between the good shepherd and the hired hand. Because with the hired hand, their loyalty can be bought and sold. They will not make the ultimate sacrifice in the face of danger. He goes on to describe this life by talking about the sacrifice that the good shepherd will make for his sheep. You see, the reason that we can enjoy this fullness of life that God always intended for us is because the shepherd was willing to pay the price. The good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. We can enjoy freedom from fear and a life of wholeness and green pastures because Jesus poured out his life on our behalf. Think for a minute of all the things that at times can hold us back. All those things that we get anxious about, that take up our time and energy, they leave us feeling robbed. Do you know what today? You have been set free from all those things. Jesus has voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep. You know, many of us have had times in our life when we've put our faith in the wrong things. We've trusted in people rather than trusting in the Lord. We've trusted in our own efforts. We've put our faith in the system of the world, relying on our employers, our education, our reputation, our connections to bring us the answers, the security or the protection that we need. But like the hired hand, they can never be counted on. Anything outside of Jesus will leave us exposed to danger. But the good shepherd, he'll never fail us because he has been willing to pay the price for us. You see, Jesus was pointing the Jews towards the sacrifice that he would make to save his people. And this act of love, he does in obedience to the will of the Father. He tells us, the reason my Father loves me is that I laid down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This total submission to the will of the Father is what brings us into freedom today. As Jesus chose to lay down his life, that is actually when he found it. By letting go, and given up his rights, he actually entered into the true purpose of his calling and fulfilled his destiny. Surrendering his authority actually released him into the highest place of honor and promoted him to be at his Father's right hand, where every power has to bow to his name. Submission in the eyes of the world will never make sense. The religious leaders were all clutching to the power they'd seized. They did not realize that no earthly power could thwart the plans of the Father. You know what? This is true for us today. How many people are worrying about the schemes of man or the schemes of the enemy? People who are trying to tear you down, voices that rise up against you. Jesus demonstrates that he is above it all. He has had it all in hand before the foundation of the world. Today we can trust 100% in his protection. He will go before us. He will lead us out. He watches over us. We don't need to live in fear. He is our protection. And finally, as he paints this picture of the Good Shepherd, Jesus tells us that he is our eternal salvation. You see, the Jews were looking for freedom from Roman oppression. They were looking for a saviour who would rescue them and protect them from their earthly enemies. But Jesus was going to show them that life with God was way beyond the physical realm that they were living in. They were part of eternal destiny, of which he was their eternal king. He said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." There's so many people today, and they're trying to hold on. In a world where nothing feels secure or certain, they're clutching at straws. They're trying to find that sense of peace and security. Do you know what? As believers, we don't need to worry about these things. You are so important to the Father. He is holding you. There are so many times when everything in life feels shaky and uncertain, when we feel like we're fallen, but we need to remind ourselves of the truth. No matter how we feel, we are secure. We have hope today. We have eternal safety. This is the reality that we're living with. It's not based on our emotions. It's based on his word. Do you know what? We need a revelation of this on a daily basis. That no earthly plan or scheme of the enemy, no economic downturn or deadly disease can come against the work of the Father in your life. You are safe today. You have nothing to fear. And more importantly, you don't need to fight to hold on. You just need to follow the voice of your good shepherd. He will lead you to the right place at the right time. He will get you to those wide open spaces. He will open the doors for your promotion. He will be one step ahead of you, protecting you. He will protect you from all danger. He will never abandon you, leave you, or forsake you. He is your good shepherd.